We have with us today Anton Chaykin. Anton, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's wonderful to have you join Discussions of Truth. Anton, for listeners, would you give us a little bit of an intro? You are the founder, or if not the founder, of the Lyndon LaRouche movement. Give us a little bit of background on you, would you please?
Yeah, I met LaRouche back in 1966, and a group of us were at a class of his where he said that this is right after the Kennedy assassination.
Interesting.
And he said that the bankers in New York and London were changing the strategy of the United States to bring on austerity and loot the underdeveloped countries. And if we didn't stop them and go back to the strategy America had before of building up industry and better living standards, then it could result in a catastrophe for civilization and fascism. So we decided at that point to start a group that could look into what was going on and what had happened historically, different from what's taught in school. And we did that.
Okay.
And I, back in about 1982, after our group had set up publishing and a lot of research facilities and had connections to people in governments and military and science around different countries, 1982, I started studying history on my own, seeing that the account of, say, the founding fathers in history, along with most other academic teaching about social sciences, was beyond bad. It was an attack against civilization. It was lies. And I read Hamilton and other early leaders of the country and found that their own works, their own thinking, was way deeper and more humane and more scientific than the idiots writing about them or lying about them in the Eastern establishment. And so at that point, you have to say, let's reconstruct history by going to the original sources and trying to find out what this fight was between the American nationalists and earlier people who believed in a republic. But for me, I studied from the time of the founding of the country, between them and this British faction, the London imperialists and their Wall Street friends. This is the two sides in history, in our history, since that time. And that's the basic fight in the world between these two sides, the nationalists versus that empire.
Now, Anton, what was it that had Lyndon sparked? This was after the JFK assassination. What was it that kind of sparked this research that you, and I'm assuming he and this group that you mentioned, went down and said, well, wait a second, there's influence here that is, weren't the British an enemy at one point?
Yeah, the point is that the founding strategy of the country was changed after the triple murder of the Kennedy brothers and Martin Luther King.
Interesting.
It was changed by the people like Rockefeller, Morgan, and the city of London, which continued having power. They changed London for the New Age into an offshore banking center. But this is the new imperialism, not done directly by force, but by other means. But the strategy changed, for example, bringing in radical environmentalism to replace things like civil rights and workers' rights and higher living standards and scientific progress. The space program was shut down. Nuclear power was called evil and made people afraid of it. Even electricity was denounced for people in Africa, for example, to say it's better for them to live a primitive life, it's more natural. All of these things are really insane, because the founders of our country, and all the way up through the 19th century and then Franklin Roosevelt and John Kennedy believed in our founding mission, which these guys are now renouncing, which is the idea that man should have power over nature to uplift the lives of the ordinary people and make them not only have good living standards and high wages, but make them be smart and independent citizens who could actually run their own government. That's not what these empire people want. That's not what the imperial enemy that we fought against all throughout our history in London and then later London and New York, that's not what they wanted. They want people to be believing that human beings are only animals, that they don't have a soul, they can't aspire to the stars. Because if people have aspirations to become, to be inventors, to be scientists, to be profound artists, and to help and love one another to accomplish these things, then they won't put up with having oligarchs run their lives or destroy their countries. One of the things that happened after the murders of the Kennedy brothers was we got into this idea of permanent war. Terrorism, partly sponsored by the oligarchs themselves, and then you have anti-terrorism, constant war, and the enemy image of one country after another, all stupid. You know, there's no nation that's our enemy. That's wrong. No nation on earth is really the enemy of the United States. We have enemies like terrorist groups, and you deal with that by having the big countries work together to go back to doing the kind of industrial progress and scientific progress that helps everybody. And you deal with these terrorist groups as a police problem, close down their bank accounts, shut off their drug supply, and arrest the people that are sponsoring them, who are in London and New York and Saudi Arabia. Don't have wars where you're murdering people all the time and causing more terrorism. Get cooperation. Russia and China should be our allies. And this is understood by all the great American leaders from the beginning of our country.
Yeah, beautifully said, Anton. This is beautifully said. So historically, of course, if we look at kind of the controlling hands, obviously this country is a product of English speakers. And, you know, most of the other Americas, primarily Spanish and then Portuguese. But all of those three languages root from civilizations that come from Europe. And prior to these kind of European countries, that would be England. You know, obviously, we're going to talk about the British influence here on the United States from your research angle. But we also have Germany and Italy, Spain, and all these different kind of France, different fractions of Europe. But that all stemmed from the Roman Empire. What was the Roman Empire? And one of the main cogs and differences there that I think separates the United States would be that the Roman Empire basically had mixed the control of state and the control of religion. And that's in the United States we have freedom of religion. Now, what's also interesting is you mentioned the Bank of England or the city in London. Former guest been a few weeks, Richard Lighthouse. He actually claims, and he says that Lloyd's Bank is the largest bank on the planet, based in London, and it's 100 times larger than the closest competitor, which is J.P. Morgan. But maybe you can talk. I know I've given two different kind of angles there. I've given the roots from the Roman Empire, which may be reflected through how the British may be attempting, and maybe through your research, controlling our way of life as Americans today. That's kind of one. And then I'm also kind of piggybacking back into you going off of the city of London, which I don't think listeners really understand how powerful that is.
Well, I just want to mention that we're having this interview because I'm writing a new book, and I sent that to you. And
yes,
the book is called American Prometheus: Progress versus Empire, from Franklin to Kennedy. And it's the idea of progress is the founding mission of the United States. If you go back to the Roman Empire, it was mixed because it wasn't dedicated to progress. It was dedicated to conquering other countries, and that was the downfall of Rome, because it became poor as a result of not having its citizens be productive. They just looted other countries. And the problem in the Dark Ages after the fall of Rome was a lack of progress. The Renaissance and then later the Industrial Revolution that I am going into in my book gave us the idea that man is destined to have continual progress, to go upward and to find his beautiful place in the universe. So the banking system that you have in the central bank of England, Bank of England, and their system of banking, now the offshore banking criminal empire,
yes,
really,
right.
That system is not our system. Our system in the United States, if we have a system, it's the Constitution, but it's based on a founding idea, which is the progress of mankind's power over nature and the right of every human being to have a decent existence, not just to vote or speak freely, but to have a good living and to have the ability to have a productive life. Now, I'm dividing this study that I'm doing. The book is one-third done. The first section is up on my website for people to read for free. The book's not finished, but that section, the first six chapters, are done. The three sections are the 18th, the 19th, and the 20th century, the 20th and beyond. The first section that's done has the first 2 points. There are 5 points in this book. The first 2 points are the Industrial Revolution that happened in England, which was not done by the Empire people. It was done by Benjamin Franklin and his friends, his own close circle of friends inside of England, who made the steam engine, the canals, the first modern steel making, invented the discovered the chemical breakthroughs, Priestley and others. So you had this Industrial Revolution in England. That was the first step. The British Empire decided to then deny and stop those powers that the British had gotten from any other country industrializing, to stop anyone else from getting that. And they turned into an aggressive machine for imposing backwardness on the rest of the world. So the second point in the book and in this story is the USA in the 1770s and 80s having a revolution and setting up a government that's dedicated to allowing us to go ahead and industrialize our country and become a great power against the wishes and against the furious interference all the time of the British Empire. We had to fight another war against them, the War of 1812, and they backed the slave owners against our government in the Civil War. So the third point was after Jefferson, who adopted the British viewpoint about stopping U.S. industrialization. I go through his whole background, how that worked, how he got in with the British. But after the first industrialization was aborted, was stopped, we finally got industrialization going from 1815 to 1846. The Erie Canal, the railroads, the government of the United States protected our industries, invested in railroads, the military played a role, and we finally broke out into industrialization. The fourth point is, after the South was built up to wreck the country, was built up by the British and Wall Street to impede and stop the development of our country for a couple of decades, we won a civil war, and under Lincoln and strategists like Henry Carey, we built up the most astonishing growth of new inventions, the steel industry, the huge railroads, electricity, all of this backed by nationalists, by idealists, not Wall Street. Wall Street built no industries. Wall Street was the enemy. Wall Street was part of the British Empire. They were linked to London directly. But in this fourth point, during the post-Civil War period, the United States reached out to other countries to spread these powers of over nature, to industrialize, to help them. Germany, Japan, Russia, and other countries, the United States helped. And the British were totally freaked out and got into war making, ultimately World War I, to turn those countries against the United States of America and to break up the threat to the empire. The fifth point is the work of the later leaders in the United States, Franklin Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy, from 1939 to 69. That's when we landed on the moon, and at that point you could date the end of this whole era. But Kennedy continued FDR's proposals for developing all of mankind. He was a complete anti-imperialist, as was Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And so this is, after that, of course, the Democratic Party goes to hell. And the Republican Party under Nixon becomes a Southern strategy racist thing. Mm. And so what do you have? The Democratic Party is subservient to Wall Street, as Hillary Clinton was in her campaign. And this insanity about Russia recently. I mean, where are the people fighting for the poor people and the workers? Where are the people trying to get peace in the world and trying to get progress? Why have we no modern society here? We've become a stupid country. We don't have high-speed trains. We don't have the space program.
Right.
We don't have industries. Where's our steel mills? Where's our modern industries? What's going on? How did this happen? In order to remedy this, you have to bring people a completely different conversation about what we did that was magnificent and how we did it. Who did that? Who created these industries? Who got us our progress? According to both Adam Smith and Karl Marx, both, they claim that cruel capitalists out to make money also caused the development of these modern machines and industries and sciences, because they just happened to invest in things that caused progress without even wanting to help anybody. This is completely false. Nothing like that ever happened. No industry was ever created that way. And you like the railroads. Wall Street built no railroads. They took them over and destroyed them. Lowered the wages and caused a lot of chaos. Now we don't have any railroads. But it was patriots and the government who built the railroads. Same thing with canals. Same thing with the steel industry. Same thing with all of our sciences. The last great enterprise of the USA, there were two inventions in the mid-20th century, that we should have been going all the way with: nuclear power and space travel. Following fission, you have fusion in the nuclear science. This was stopped in the USA. Now, at the present time, China in particular is doing what the USA used to do. They're fulfilling the role that we had in the past, building up modern times in many countries. We should be allies of China and Russia and India and Brazil and South Africa. All the big countries should work together to build up modern civilization. Why not? That's the way you save the world, is have civilization. It should be tried. It's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Anton, would you say that the United States is blindly at war with British bankers? Would that be a fair statement to suggest or make?
I'd say that when Trump ran for president, he put out certain themes like protecting U.S. industry and stopping the regime change wars and having normal relations with Russia, which completely freaked out the establishment. What he has done as president is maybe something different, and the idea that a man of his limited, to put it mildly, characteristics as a leader would be voted for is only a result of how awful the Democrats were in putting up a credible alternative. But I supported those themes, and I wrote an article some time ago, in I think 2017, about the coup that was run, the attempted coup d'etat against Trump from before he even came into the White House, echoing the coup d'etat against John Kennedy. Trump is no Kennedy, but it's the same motivation for the people attacking him. Kennedy had two famous, at the time, opponents, Alan Dulles, head of CIA, and Lyman Lemnitzer, head of the Pentagon. Both of them were allied to, Alan Dulles was the chief lawyer for the Wall Street interests, and he and his brother were the chief lawyers for the union of the Wall Street, London bankers, and Hitler's government. That's how bad Dulles was.
Yeah,
I wrote about that a lot in the book
Treason in
George
America,
Bush, the unauthorized biography and Treason
oh,
in America.
Yeah.
Also Lyman Lemnitzer. There was a movie that came out in 1962. Called 7 Days in May. It was supposed to be a fictional account of a coup d'etat, an attempted overthrow of the government by the military. The movie was made out of the book by that name with the cooperation of President Kennedy himself. They even filmed some of it in the White House. And it was a true story because that's what was going on. It was a coup by not just the military, but by this faction, this pro-British, pro-imperial faction that hated Kennedy, that used the CIA and the military and the FBI, those establishment tools, to murder Kennedy. Now, you have to understand what happened after Kennedy was murdered to understand the murder. You, a detective always asks, who benefits from a crime?
Right.
Right? So if you look to see what happened afterwards, radical environmentalism and stopping the idea of progress is the program of this New York and London bankers establishment. They are the ones who paid for the environmentalist movement. And so what's the idea? The World Wildlife Fund was founded in April 61, right after Kennedy came in. Kennedy was a total anti-imperialist, and he thought that Africa in particular had the right to have modern times. When he was president, the first head of state who came to visit him was Kwame Nkrumah, president of Ghana. And they worked together right away to get U.S. and other financing for a dam that was built on the Volta River to get electricity for West Africa to allow them to industrialize, something the British had never allowed.
Wow.
They're supposed to be kept primitive. Today we wouldn't agree with that. Today we'd say let the rhinoceroses have a chance to go to the undisturbed river to drink. We don't care if the children starve to death or there's no hospitals. Right?
Yeah.
Who cares about those black people anyway? That's the idea.
Sure.
That's it. That's Prince Philip. That's Prince Bernard, and that's David Rockefeller. So they set up this World Wildlife Fund. Kennedy was talking about the crisis in Africa with Lumumba being murdered previously by the CIA just before he got in office, with these countries being poor that had been robbed of their people in the slave trade and brutalized under colonialism. He said there's a crisis there. And the World Wildlife Fund said, yes, There's a crisis in Africa. Mm. It's the crisis of the rhinoceroses, mm-hmm. not of the people. Mm-hmm. People in America need to look to their own souls, especially younger people, to understand what happened to compassion for other human beings. There's no compassion in this generation to the extent that you go with an establishment program. The establishment says there's to be no physical progress of mankind, and you're going to have wars all the time to pretending to be promoting democracy, where millions and millions will be slaughtered, and you'll have the excuse that you're opposing brutal dictators. And in each case, it's all based on lies. You have to stop the wars and go back to... You have to go back first to a conversation about what we were. Trump says, let's make America great again, but doesn't explain what that is. That doesn't help anybody. People make up their own idea about what it was. So it was great when everybody was white or something like that. Or it's great when everybody worked in a steel mill. Well, that is great. That was good. Those are good jobs. They got high wages. But what was the character of the country, and how did that come about? How did we get the achievements? That's what's in this book. Now, the book that I'm writing, which is partly done, is available up to the point of its present completion on the website that I set up a week ago. It's called AntonChaikin.com. And you can go there, and you can just read the book, the first six chapters. You can leave a comment, you can get in touch with me through the website, or you can take my email, which is AntonChaikin@gmail.com. But I would encourage people to look at that. There's a guide to the chapters. I have a special chapter 5 about the British role in the French Revolution, which I think has never been done before, about how the British brought anarchy and bloodshed into France, sponsoring the worst terrorists like Marat and these other clowns that caused so much...
Necker.
Necker was the financier who blamed the king's overspending instead of the British Free Trade Treaty for the poverty and disaster of France. And he was an enemy of the United States. France had been an ally of our country in the Revolution, and the British wanted to break up that alliance. I also go into what happened in Ireland, crucial, before the U.S. set up its government. Ireland had a revolution along with the USA, and it was largely directed by Benjamin Franklin, who was working closely with Irish nationalist leaders. And the Irish wanted to protect their industries and get build up modern industries, and the British were calculating how to stop that. This is all crucial to understanding why our country, when we set up our republic and had our first president, Washington, and his Secretary of Treasury, Hamilton, we had a founding program, economic program of the United States. And it was put forward by Hamilton, and it was a program to build up the industry of the United States with using things like high tariffs, government sponsorship and payment for canals and later railroads, and having a national bank that could undercut the speculators and make sure that investments, private and public, go into productive industry so that you don't have collapses all the time like we do periodically now when Wall Street just goes crazy. It's not socialism, and it's not free trade. Both of those things are off of the direction that the classic idea of a republic gives you, going all the way back in time to Greece and to Rome, you know, to other parts of human achievement. Our leadership at these points that I've brought out, going back to Franklin and forward to all the best leaders, Lincoln and others, is based on this idea of man's noble character.
Wonderful.
And in being made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And people who are, you know, religious fanatics and are have some ideology based on that for God knows what, miss the point that man has these rights, and these rights have to be defended by an activist government.
Yes.
That is not controlled by these oligarchs, these bankers, or else the government becomes the enemy. But the government per se is never an enemy. That's ridiculous. If it's an elected government, you need that to defend the rights of the people to have progress. You'll never have progress unless people can have their own nation, defend their nation. And to understand the positive character of this gets you a long way towards solving anything. For example, Trump says we got to have a wall on our southern border. The liberals say, oh, there's no problem with this thing. People are desperate. They should come to the United States. Well, why don't you solve the problem? Why are there millions of people
right.
desperate to get into the United States? Is the United States that great a country? No. Relative to the places they come from, it is. But the point is, why can't we reverse this insane policy of making every other country poor? Why don't we have high-wage jobs and modern industries in Central America and Mexico? Build up those countries to be modern. Henry Kissinger said, we don't want that. David Rockefeller, we don't want that. The British always tried to keep these countries poor and subservient, and Wall Street followed their cue. Kissinger said, we don't want a Japan south of the border. Why not? Wouldn't it be better for Mexico to have high-wage, modern industry?
Of course.
They wouldn't. Why should they be forced to come here to get a job?
Right. And you're working in a collective and collaborative manner. Rather than trying to suppress your
right.
neighbor. Anton, since you have gone down this road, it's now decades long, you've basically, as you mentioned, you've been writing this book collectively for over the course of more than three decades. What is the most alarming thing that you have discovered in your time traveling this road?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? The phone was breaking up.
Sure. No. What is the most alarming thing that you have discovered since you've been researching what you've been researching? Is that a fair question to ask? Because
It is. Yeah. I think that I would put that in two sides, positive and negative.
Good.
The most exciting and disturbing but exciting thing is that all of history features a central fight between strategists who are aiming to do something with the world. And these two sides are not just one of them has one idea and the other has an opposing idea. The two sides are, in this era, is generally these nationalists who are humane and looking to have industrial and scientific progress and believed in a republic and protectionism for their country as against the empire people. You have this all the way back through history, city builders on one side and the worst evil empires on the other side. But in our history, this contest is a mortal and brutal and bitter thing. On the other side, the sort of depressing thing here is the response of people that have no idea of this, and then you get attacked for discussing this basic problem in history. People denounce conspiracy theories, that is, this establishment does. What does that mean? It means to them, it means that when the New York Times or their or other instruments of these banking groups say that so-and-so is involved in a conspiracy, that is a criminal conspiracy. If I say that the bankers who have offshore accounts were developed by the Bank of England in the 1920s and later, one of the things they developed along that road was fascism as a project, first in Austria, then Italy, then Germany. That was a project of the Bank of England. That would be denounced by these same people as a conspiracy theory, and it's something that no one should think about. You're not allowed to think about these things. So these are completely illogical points of view that are promoted and taught in our schools, along with things like radical environmentalism, along with identity politics, things like this. Instead of a searching look by those who are becoming educated at the good, the beautiful, the profound that has come from a passionate life again and again of one after another human being who is a scientist, who is a statesman, who is an artist, who is a classical musician, who have taken mankind forward. History is that kind of biography. It's never sociology. Things don't just happen. People make things happen based on ideas, based on passion. And the main idea in history, the thing that really drives it, is the good. If the good people are a minority in terms of power in history, so what? That's where we got our progress from. It was from people trying to do good and accomplishing that. They might have been martyrs. They might have lost, you know, their powers. They might have been tortured or killed. But they won in the sense that mankind made progress. That's the idea of Prometheus. And that's where the title of the book comes from.
Wonderful.
America acted in that way, classically. We don't right now. But that was the greatness that we, you know, we were privileged in many ways to be able to do that. And it was exciting. People had exciting lives. Edison had an exciting life. Lincoln had an exciting life until he was murdered. Franklin was called the Prometheus of modern times. Prometheus stole fire from the gods.
Right.
Zeus, you could say, is a symbol of the powerful families, the oligarchy, that hates mankind. He's not like our idea of God. He's not compassionate in the sense that where he's fighting against what Prometheus is doing. Prometheus gave fire to mankind to make man stronger so he could stand up to Zeus. And the arts of civilization come from that, metalworking and science and so forth. So if you have these two characteristics of goodness, one of them is genius and the other is love and cooperation. If you put those two things together, that's the basis of our civilization. Not, you know, displacing native peoples or slavery. You know, people write about slavery that's what built up America. What an insane idea. Slavery was mass murder. Slavery held America back. America wasn't built on slavery. The Southern slave owners were constantly under the control of Wall Street and London. They were in debt all the time, and they were to the extent that they were radicals. They tried to destroy the United States for a long time. They stopped railroads. They stopped every kind of progress. that wasn't the interest of the South. It was the interest of a group of dumb oligarchs, local oligarchs in the USA, allied to imperial oligarchs. And so to say that slavery built the United States is not just wrong, it's so ignorant, because look at what actually happened. Who was Henry Clay? Henry Carey? What was Alexander Hamilton doing? What were the tariffs that caused the first steel mills to be built? How did the railroads be built? The first 60 railroads in America were designed by Army engineers. Slavery didn't build those railroads.
Love it.
South Carolina actually was the scene of one of those first railroads, because there were people in South Carolina who thought maybe they could have another destiny instead of slavery. They were defeated by the oligarchy. Calhoun, the famous Southern politician, actually changed from being an American nationalist, a progressive man, to, after he was threatened by this oligarchy and showed that he couldn't get anywhere unless he went with their program, became a bitter fanatic against the United States for slavery. Jefferson, why did he block this? He was a Southerner, but he was also against slavery and for he wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence. At a certain point, he changed. He had a bad term as governor. He fled from the battle zone. The British invaded Virginia, and he just fled as governor. And he had a bad reputation, and he was given a chance to be a representative of Southern politics. And he went off to study how he could get away with that and salve his conscience. And he went to Paris as U.S. ambassador there right after the Revolution. And he got in with the British. He got in with the new radical liberal British Empire. He was taught directly for months by Dugald Stewart, who was a tutor for Lord Shelburne and an integral part of the British establishment and intelligence. And he's teaching Jefferson, who is a very clever man, about how you can put forward a theory of economics called free trade and be against manufacturing for America. Let the British do the manufacturing. Let America just be backward and have slavery. But we'll call this the new science of economics called free trade. And that is our economics today, believe it or not. That's what's taught in the universities. This radical nonsense against the USA is taught as academic economics, that the wealthy investors should be allowed to do whatever they please with their money, and that probably will cause progress, as it has in the past. And you're not allowed to interfere with that in any way or even guide it.
Right.
And it's all nonsense. Nothing like that ever happened. Never. It never worked that way. If you guide investors to make profit from building productive industries, things will work out okay. If you don't, they'll simply turn to crime, which is what the system is based on now.
Right. Incredible message, Anton. Ladies and gentlemen, the American Prometheus, Anton Chaykin. Anton, do you have some parting words for listeners?
Get some fights started about this. That's what I really want to see. I want to see some discussions. And let's have fun with this. You take this into colleges. Take this into high schools. Take this into town hall. Why is America so backward? You got to get back to this story about how we made ourselves a great country. We did it by generosity to our own people and by sharing technology with the world. That's going to take some real courage. People have to be able to say there's something basically wrong with what we're doing, which is not the legitimate character of the United States.
Exactly. Exactly. Wonderful. Beautifully said. Anton, looking forward to inviting you back on the program. Thank you for joining Discussions of Truth.
Thank you, Ian.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anton Chaykin, just an absolutely incredible mind and researcher and contribution to society and the world, and very fortunate to have him join the program.